Hi everyone, thanks for joining today's Microsoft Virtual Academy on the power of forms. I'm not alone, I've got Ronelle Klink here with me. Ronelle, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your role as a Microsoft Teacher Ambassador?
Hi everyone, hi Megan. It's wonderful to be here today. I'm a Microsoft Teacher Ambassador, and really what that is about supporting teachers at schools, providing training, and we'll be talking a lot about that today in our session.
Well, thanks for joining me. So, Ronelle, before we get on to Microsoft Forms, which is our focus tool of the day, let's talk a bit about the teacher training that you do and how important that is for teachers, both in terms of lifelong professional development, but also in terms of their professional qualifications.
Absolutely. And I think it's also very good to personalize professional development. And I think just doing something on your own as a teacher is the best way to go about it. We'll talk about the Microsoft Educator community later and how you can earn SACE points. And I think that's the great way for teachers to leverage professional development as well and customize it to their needs as well.
Okay, so you've mentioned SACE professional development points, and for South African teachers who are watching this, they'll be very familiar with the South African Council of Educators and the requirement that they each earn 150 SACE points in a 3-year cycle. You train a lot of schools. Are teachers sort of concerned about getting their points? Is that something that they're actively working on?
Absolutely. Megan, for me, this is a big drawing card. Using the Microsoft Educator community to earn SACE points. There's a lot of value in the Microsoft Educator community where you can do personalized learning at your own time, but then also get SACE points accredited for that as well.
So you've mentioned personalizing learning. And the requirement of the SACE Continuing Professional Development Plan is that each teacher earns 150
Absolutely.
Points. But teachers can really personalize how they accumulate those 150 points. And we'd like to see teachers, not just doing training for the sake of training or to get that certificate of attendance or, to sort of log random hours, but actually to customize a learning path where they're doing something that interests them, that they're enthusiastic about, and they really become lifelong learners.
Absolutely.
So you've mentioned the Microsoft Educator community as being one place where teachers can go to look for courses. What sort of courses are available on the Microsoft Educator community?
Anything from pedagogy to things like Office Mix and Sway and learning more about Office 365, Minecraft, STEAM. It really excites me when I talk about teacher training. And for me, that's a big draw card in terms of when I do training at schools, I usually say that you can earn SACE points for that. It's a big punt for me as well.
For sure. And I mean, you do a lot of training at schools, but face-to-face training definitely has its challenges.
Yes.
The teachers all have to be in the same room at the same time. Somebody's actually got to be with the children. So training can only take place if it's face-to-face training, on weekends or after school hours. Whereas the online training, teachers can really do anywhere, anytime.
Absolutely. And I think the Microsoft Educator space is a good way for teachers to enhance whatever they've been trained on or whatever they want to explore something further at an intermediate or advanced level. The Microsoft Educator community is a great way to do that.
I think what you were saying about the levels is so important.
Yeah.
Because when you do face-to-face training, I'm a face-to-face trainer myself, you try and gauge the room and try and work out, is this a beginner group you're
Yes.
working with? Is this an advanced group? And you try and adjust your training accordingly, but there's always going to be someone whose needs are not quite met. Whereas on the Microsoft Educator community, a teacher can look for courses that are at the right level for them.
Absolutely. And what I like about that specifically, if I go into a course, for example, it gives me the outcomes immediately. And even if it says 2 hours to do this course, I can still then do it over 5 hours or a week or whatever, whenever I have time personalized learning at its best.
Okay, so to get back to the SACE professional development points, there are three different categories that teachers can earn points for. The first is the type one activities, which are teacher initiated. Mm-hmm. And that would definitely bring the Microsoft Educator community into play, because there the teacher would be choosing learning that suits him or her, doing the topic that appeals to them at the right level. And in a minute, we'll talk about how they can log points for that. The second type of activity is school-initiated professional development activities. So if a school is running a workshop after school hours, perhaps the ICT coordinator is running a course, then those would be logged as school-initiated professional development sessions. The third type of activity are externally initiated professional development sessions. So I work for an organization called SchoolNet. We're accredited by SACE to offer courses. When we train teachers, we issue them with SACE certificates. So here are some of the teacher-initiated professional development activities that teachers can add to their portfolios. We've talked quite a lot about the online courses on the Microsoft Educator community, but even people who are watching us here now can be counting this virtual academy towards those points. What about if the ICT coordinator is training at a school, would that count?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, usually that's our training start point. We usually engage with the ICT trainer at the school or integrator, and they can use this to earn points as well. I found as well it's very good appraisal system as well, and they can track their progress and see how staff are doing and who needs more attention than others. So it's a great way for ICT integrators to use this tool as well.
So I like what you were saying about staff appraisal. You know, that often comes up as a need that principals express, saying, you know, their staff need to sort of get with it. You know, those who haven't yet caught the technology bug need to, you know, be doing something. And this gives them a way of seeing, well, who's actually making an effort to earn some badges and sort of address their skills, and who's just not that interested.
Absolutely.
So to get back to the points, for watching a virtual academy, a teacher could claim 6 points a year for sort of 4 activities a year. If you do a course on the Microsoft Educator community, you can log 10 points per course. For facilitating professional development sessions. So there, if you're an ICT coordinator training your colleagues, you could get 5 points a year. And for being a member of a professional learning community, so that's joining something like the Microsoft Educator community, you can log 12 points in your portfolio as a teacher-initiated professional development activity. So I mentioned already that our organization, SchoolNet, is able to issue externally initiated SACE points. We've had quite a few courses on the Microsoft Educator community SACE accredited. So in addition to earning points under the teacher-initiated category, a teacher could also log these points that they've earned on the Microsoft Educator community with SchoolNet, and we'll then issue them with a SACE certificate. You do quite a lot of sessions at schools, but are you able to sort of formally sort of issue a SACE certificate, or would you rely on an organization like SchoolNet to do that?
You know, I think it's a lot of administrative to set up. So I think SchoolNet would be the best way in which to actually earn your points and then record those points as well as you go along your learning pathway.
Yeah, and SchoolNet's just one training provider. Other training providers may also have had some of these courses SACE endorsed and would be able to issue the SACE certificates in the same way as SchoolNet has. There's a URL that's on the screen. If you go to tinyurl.com/SACE-SchoolNetSA, you will open up a form to log your professional development points. So that's flashing on the screen now. So if teachers have earned specifically those badges that were on the screen earlier, they can sign our online register that will enable us to issue them with the SACE endorsed certificate. So teachers who are watching, who have earned some badges, double check if you've got the Teaching with Technology badge, the Microsoft in Education one, Microsoft in the Classroom, 21st Century Learning Design, Teaching with Technology 2016, or the Microsoft Innovative Educator Expert badge, and do fill in the online form so that we can issue you with the SACE endorsed certificate.
Megan, I must say, I looked at that form and it's very easy to complete. So I would really encourage teachers to start using it right away.
Teachers should fill in that form because if they don't, we are not going to know that you've earned those badges and we won't be able to recognize and reward your efforts. So do have a look if you've got any of those badges and fill in the form. And a little bit later, we'll be showing you how we set up the form in case you'd like to set up a form for your teaching. Before we get onto the forms though, I'd like to give some top tips for making sure that we're able to see your profile. Ranelle, is anyone able to see anyone else's profile on the Microsoft Educator community?
No, Megan, unless you set it to public, and then I can see and view your profile and see what you're up to and share lessons with you and, you know, gauge what your involvement is in the community as well.
Okay, so that's very important. If people are wanting to claim their SACE professional development points, we can only verify that somebody's earned the badges if they've set their profile to being public. Otherwise, it's so private that nobody knows what badges you've got and we won't be able to issue you with the certificate. The second thing people need to be aware of is where to get their public profile URL.
Yes.
Where can somebody find that?
Sure, it's very easy. If you click on your profile, maybe you've got a picture there already, click on your profile picture, and then you go into Edit Profile, and it's under Basic Information, and you'll get your public URL there.
Okay, so if you want to send somebody the link to your profile, so not just claiming your SACE professional development points, but as Ranelle was saying earlier, some schools are using the badge system to monitor sort of professional development activities at their school. So an ICT coordinator may want to ask teachers to share that public profile with him or her so that the ICT coordinator can use that to gauge sort of how active and involved teachers are.
Absolutely.
Okay, so if you complete that activity and you sign up to get your SACE endorsed certificate from SchoolNet, you would be filling out a form. And that brings us to the tool of the day, the focus of this Microsoft Virtual Academy, which is Microsoft Forms. So Ranelle, you and I have both used Forms, but for somebody who's never experienced the power of Forms, in a nutshell, how would you explain Forms to someone?
Yeah, you know, as a teacher, having experienced using Forms before, it's a great tool to share very easily via link. And you can share that as a flipped classroom situation, but they could answer those questions and you could self-mark teachers. That's a great drawing card.
Ranelle, you had me at self-marking. What teacher wouldn't appreciate a tool that reduces some of their marking load? And also, not just forms that have to be marked, but also, you know, teachers and schools generate so much paperwork. You know, there are always sort of notices and reply slips and sign-up sheets going around. Forms can really reduce some of that that paper farming that goes on and can neatly collate information into one place.
Absolutely. So you could collect information for parents' information as well through a form as well. Via survey, And you could also then export that to an Excel spreadsheet, and we'll talk about that more.
Okay, so Ranelle, does anyone have access to forms? How do you go about finding forms?
Okay, so it's linked to your Office 365 account, the education account. And once you sign in with your username and password, you'll see a tab called Forms, and then you just click on it, and then you'll have access to it. But we'll take you through it step by step.
So if teachers have got Office 365, and it has to be the education edition, at their schools, when you sort of hit that app launcher and you see, you know, the icons for Word, PowerPoint, Excel, which are the tools teachers use most often, maybe a teacher's sort of overlooked that little F icon. That's the Forms button, and a teacher could press on that. We've talked about some of the advantages of forms, but to recap them, is a form a long and involved thing to set up, or something quick?
It's very quick. You could actually create it on the fly during a lesson. You could show them how easy it is to share that and how to link to access the form, but it's very, very easy to set up. But don't forget about your permissions when you're setting up your form as well. If you want to share that within your organization only, that is fine, but set the link to public so that everyone could actually view it as well.
Okay.
If you wanted to do that option. Yeah.
So that's an important tip. When somebody accesses the Forms icon, they get two options. They can either set up a new form, or they can set up a new quiz. What's the difference between a form and a quiz?
Okay, so remember I spoke about the self mark as a teacher, so that you would use a new quiz for. So essentially you would select the correct answers within your form as well.
Okay, so a quiz is like a little test, a revision activity, something where they write and wrong answers. And a form?
Okay, so a form speaks to really if you want to collect data. So, for example, you want to collect information like parents' email addresses or whatever the case, you could share the link with parents as well.
Okay, so maybe the best way to illustrate the power of forms is to actually go to one.
Sure.
So Ranelle, you set up a quiz earlier,
yes,
and you sent a link to my email. Let me just find it. I then clicked on the link that you sent me in the email, and it's brought up the recap vocabulary activity. So in this case, I'm the student, you're the teacher, so you set up the form, I've clicked on the link, and I can now answer the questions.
Absolutely.
So Let's see how good my vocabulary is. The first question is to select today's date, and I think that's definitely worth doing, because that would be like dating your homework in a file or in your class book.
Absolutely.
And then I'm getting on to answering the questions. And I see some questions have little red stars next to them. What's that all about?
Okay, so if you look at the questions, the red stars means that you've got that incorrect. And so what I've done when I set up the form, I've actually selected the correct answer.
Okay. I thought it was required. So
okay. On the left side, Megan.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, all right. So I'm now going to try answering them.
Yeah.
Okay. To increase in number or amount, okay, let's try propagate, right? By definition, refers to strengthened or built up. Nourished, right. Refers to something bitter. I do know that you're after gall, but I'm deliberately going to choose a wrong answer just to see what happens, but I've had to point it out to the audience that I do know what gall is. Right, term used to describe an act that is unjustly kind. Okay, right, let's go with, okay. A person who's tormented or troubled, right, vexed. Rate your understanding of the vocab used in Shakespeare's plays. I'll go with a 3, and I'm now going to submit my answers. Okay, and I can immediately see that I got 4 out of 6 for this, and I can see that my work has been marked. So for propagate, I've got it right. But here, I've got another one right. And here, this one I've obviously got wrong, and it's highlighted in red. So I'm instantly able to see that feedback. Without you as the teacher having to touch my activity.
Absolutely, and that's a lovely, the beauty of forms is that I receive that response immediately. So if you look at my screen, Megan, you'll be able to see as the teacher, I have access to the form as well. And I'll take you through how these questions work as well. But I can see 3 responses. It started with 2, and now that you've responded, I can see 3 responses. But yeah, there's a lovely way in which to set this up. Let's talk about each of those questions. So what I've included in this form is different ways in which you could use the form. So these are the different types of questions that you could use in your form. The first one is to select your date. And if you add a question, you'll see the date option over there. And it's like it's a lovely way to sort of self-mark or set the date when you completed that assessment. Another type of question, the second question you would have seen that I've got a correct tick next to it where you can select the correct answer as well. Another thing you could possibly do is you could give them a tip as well if they were on the if they chose the incorrect option as well. So that's a lovely way in which to include or give them guidance along the way as well.
And you could also have a comment that pops up when they get the answer right, like well yes. done or you know, sort of good job, try the next one.
Absolutely, and it just encourages them as well. So the next type of question is sort of similar, you know, the self-mark option, but let's go down to rate your understanding. You know, learners these days love the fact that they can rate something or like something. I think this is a really a great way to punch what is your understanding of a new concept that you've covered in your classroom as well. This could also be used in a geography class, for example, where you can add pictures. And I like that element specifically as well. So you could add a picture as well, or even a video. You can also set questions to be required. So if you want them to answer or get a response in a specific question, it's a great way to force them to do that.
Okay, and they won't be allowed to submit their question paper until they have completed all of those required questions.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm just looking at where I was required to fill in the date. What for me is so nice about it is that it automatically puts the date in the same format for each person who answers it. So it's not like somebody writes, you know, the digits 13 and then writes out June, you know, the word. When you get your collated answers, everyone's answer follows the same format.
Absolutely. And just coming back to setting the date, another thing, you would have got 4 out of 6 for that. And you can set points as well per question if you'd like to do that as well. But I think forms is a great way to encourage learners to flip your classroom in a non-threatening way. So these assessments, I would really start using it not for marks.
Yes.
At the beginning, you know, and then you can slowly progress into using marks.
What I also think would be nice for a teacher is to compare the child's mark for an activity like this to how well they rate their own understanding. So in my case, I scored 4 out of 6,
yes.
But I rated my understanding as being sort of 3 stars out of a possible 5. So I'm part of the way there, but I'm not a vocab whiz. So in my case, my mark and my own perception of my understanding sort of align, Whereas if I had got 0 out of 6 for the activity, but thought that I had 5-star understanding, the teacher would then know, you know, this is a problem.
Absolutely. And it's a great way for teachers to sort of deal with learning problems or any challenges that learners may have. This is a great way to inform your teaching and what you may need to focus on in revision and that kind of thing as well.
So Ranelle, if we go back to the teacher view, you can see things on your version that I can't see on mine because I'm a child in your class and you're the teacher. Talk us through some of the options that you can see in the teacher view.
Sure.
And what teachers should be aware of when they set up a form.
Absolutely.
Or a quiz.
So we've gone through the setup of the question, so you'll be able to preview and see what that looks like. And once you've previewed it, you can then set it up to be on a mobile or a computer as well. And what I like about this specifically is that I can see the responses of the learners. And that's really the beauty of this tool as well. So you could review their answers, you could post their scores if you wanted to, and it really gives you a visual of what learners are doing in terms of the assessment.
So you can see how it's going to look when the students see it. And it's great that forms can be set up to look really good on a mobile phone because lots of schools are not very well equipped, but many learners still have access to a mobile phone and would be able to do a quick little quiz using the cell phone that's in their pocket. I think back to those clicker systems that,
yes,
that were all the rage, a few years ago. But now a student in their pocket would have access to a tool to quickly fill in an online form.
Yeah, and it's absolutely a great way for teachers to create that engagement and interactivity during a lesson as well.
And just to keep them on their toes,
yes,
you know, and being part of the swing of things, not necessarily for formal assessment,
yes,
but just to, on the fly, see the level of engagement,
yes,
and whether or not students are understanding things. So show us what the responses look like for the teacher.
Sure. So per question, I could see the responses of my learner. I'm going to look at question 3. By definition, refers to a strengthened or built up. So you can see 1 point assigned to it. You have a visual for a graph there showing how many of your learners got the particular question incorrect and correct and so forth as well. But Megan, another tool that I love about this, or another feature that I love about forms, is that you can go into each individual question and look at the learner's responses there as well.
And with those pie charts, a teacher would also be able to see, well, you know, everyone's doing well, or well, the majority of students are doing well in these questions, but these are the questions where, the results have been quite poor, and the teacher would then know that's what he or she needs to revise again or go over.
Absolutely, and a great way to inform your teaching.
So Ranelle, earlier you were mentioning that it's important sort of how you share this this link.
Okay.
So can you demonstrate that for us?
Sure. So let's have a look at the sharing permissions when you create a form. Now, this is really important for teachers to note that anyone with the link can respond. So anyone. So if I sent this link out to you today, you would be able to respond to the form as well. But most of the time, you may, if your learners have an Office 365 account, you may want to set it to only people in my organization can respond. And that's a great way in which to force them to sign in, and you can see who's actually responded to that link as well.
Okay. And what about those little icons for different ways of sharing? Can you talk us through those?
Sure. So the first one is just via link, but this is what I really love about forms as well, is that you can include a QR code. Teachers can use this in a scavenger hunt. They can put it up in their classroom as an exit ticket. It's a great way, once again, to engage learners in a different type of way. And then one that I particularly like as well, where you can actually embed the code and you can put this into a Sway as well. So it's a great way, or you could just email it directly from there.
So like those flipped classroom activities you were mentioning, if students are required to watch some videos or work through a sway or go through a PowerPoint for homework, the teacher could then embed a link to the quiz at the end of it to make sure that students have actually watched the whole way through and are then able to answer the questions at the end. Okay, so Ranel, that's a great example of a form, specifically a quiz using Microsoft Forms. But we're now on to the next type of form, which is a form using Microsoft Forms. So for this one, I've actually got quite a nice example on my account that I thought I'd show. And this one is from an Hour of Code project that we ran a while ago, where we had 50 sort of simultaneous sessions happening in 50 different venues all over the country. Students were doing the Hour of Code, and we wanted a record of who'd actually been part of those sessions. And the thought of people having to sign a paper register and these different facilitators having to then scan those and email them to me, and then for somebody to have to try and manually type out all of that information, I thought, oh no, there has to be an easier way, and Forms was definitely it. You mentioned some ways that schools can use forms earlier, and I'm sure in your work with schools you've got loads of examples. Can you talk about how schools have used forms that you've seen to get rid of some of the paper?
Yeah, I think really to get rid of the paper, and I think parents are really ready for this, is to share a link and to collect information, or to sign consent to go on a field trip, or that's a lovely way in which to use forms as well. Quickly, I provide permission to let my daughter or my son or whatever attend this event, and it's a very quick way to get consent.
Okay, so I've got it up now, my Hour of Code participant register, and I ask people for their name, their surname, which province the session took place in, and for that, I made a little sort of drop-down multiple choice list where I sort of typed in all of the provinces, which again makes it just that much quicker to answer a form if the options that people are going to choose are already there. Then I asked them to type in the name of the school, the name of the facilitator, and to select their role, to give their gender, to describe their prior coding experience. But the really exciting bit about this form that I want the viewers to see is how these responses look, because we had 1,000 people complete this form.
Sure.
And when I click on responses, I'm able to see this because I set up the form. But each of these 1,000 participants who completed it wouldn't be able to see this information. If I scroll through this though, I can see such lovely sort of graphs of my information. What's on the screen now is which province did your session take place in? And by looking at that information, I can instantly see, okay, most learners were from Limpopo, Gauteng was next, and Western Cape was third. But I haven't had to put that information into Excel and make a graph. It's instantly produced.
Yeah. It handles your administration for you, just share via link.
Yeah. And these graphs are so nice that I've been able to take screen grabs of this and put it into reports to show these were the provinces that we trained. Something else that we were interested in was how many females we'd attracted to these coding sessions, because we really wanted female learners to see the power of coding. And instantly from the pie chart, you're able to see that we did in fact train more girls than boys.
That's good to know.
Yeah. So also in terms of the prior coding experience, we can see that the overwhelming majority of kids who did the hour of code had never done coding before. And then the smallest slice of the pie were those that knew a lot about coding. So that just gives a little taste of how the feedback looks. But that's not the only way of seeing the feedback. How else can you see feedback?
Yeah, so you can see feedback as a visual under responses, but you can then also export to a spreadsheet. Do you want to show us that spreadsheet?
Yeah, so I'm now going to open it in Excel. And what I love about this is instantly I've got a list of all of the students that we trained, which schools they were from. I can then manipulate this data. I can, filter it. I can see, so how many sort of students did we train at a specific school, and can really work with those responses. There's something else that I want to show, because we didn't mention it earlier, mm-hmm. is people may have noticed that this form is now closed.
Okay.
How does that work, closing a form?
Okay, so when you, for example, if you wanted to have an assessment like I had as a quiz or whatever the case may be, you can go and set those restrictions to close a form, give your learners a specific time in which to complete that. And you would just click under settings, and then you could have a start date and you could have an end date. And your end date is the way in which you could close the form. So it's a lovely way to use that assessment as well and set a specific time to end it.
So in terms of quizzes or assessments, just like sort of assignments have a due date. I mean, I remember at university, you had to submit your assignments still in a box. And at the cutoff time, they locked the box. Yes. Somebody came and emptied it. And if you were late, too bad. This is a way of saying your quiz is due by a specific time. And after that, the link's going to be closed.
Yeah, it's a good way to teach time management as well, the learners. Yeah,
And in the case of my Hour of Code form, that project ran for a week. That was the week to do an Hour of Code. And we wanted to gather the statistics of how many students we'd been able to reach in that specific week. So we closed the form at the end of the week. And if we run this project again, we'll set up a new form. Which brings me to the next point. If we do run another Hour of Code project, or if you're doing your Shakespeare vocab quiz with another class next year, would we have to set up the form from scratch?
Absolutely, and this is really where the form saves teachers time. Teachers are very busy people, so you could then reuse the form and then just change the questions. You can then deactivate your responses as well, so you can delete all your responses once you've exported the Excel spreadsheet and you have that data. So that's a way to reuse that information. But you can also share and collaborate on a form as well. So for example, if an English teacher as a head of department wanted to set up the template, they could do that and then share the link as well with the other staff members.
So for your Shakespeare quiz that you set up earlier, if we were two English teachers teaching the same grade, could we work collaboratively on setting up that quiz?
Absolutely. So if you were the person who initially set up the form, you could share it with me and I could collaborate, and I'd also be able to see the responses on that form as well.
So there are two levels of sharing. The one is setting somebody up as a collaborator, and that means they're able to co-author the quiz or the form, and both of those people or more would be able to see the responses.
Yes.
But the other type of sharing is like the access you would provide to children to answer the quiz, or to parents to set fill in the permission slip, where they could fill in their own information and could see that, but they wouldn't be able to see all of the responses. and they wouldn't be able to change the questions.
Yes.
Okay, that clarifies it quite nicely. One more thing there that teachers will enjoy is how you're able to choose a different theme for your form. So for the Hour of Code, we chose one of the themes that's already in Office 365 for education, the submarines and the underwater theme. But I could change it to something else from choosing one of the pre-existing themes, or could a teacher customize this?
Yeah, they could, and it's a great way for teachers to include theme-related images as well. So you can actually search for images and so forth, and you can customize it based on your topic or whatever or contextualize your form as well.
So for your Shakespeare one, yes. If you wanted it to look like it was sort of written on parchment paper or something to make it look sort of like Shakespearean or Old English, you could find a suitable image, upload it to forms and take it from there.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that, Ranel, is the wonder of forms. In closing, I do think it's important to just re-emphasize some top tips around using forms. We have covered these points as we've chatted through forms, but I think that this is really important and worth mentioning again. So the first tip is around sharing. What would you tell teachers?
Yeah, my suggestion to teachers specifically is the default setting is to only share within your organization. So if you want to make this public and let everyone or any person share this link or get access to your form, please change that option to anyone with the link.
Yes, that's very important, particularly if you're sharing your link with parents, because your students might all have the same Office 365 accounts with the domain name as part of their email address, but the parents won't have those. So you want to make sure that for the most part, anyone with a link can respond. Unless, of course, it's a quiz or a test, and everyone who's taking the quiz or the test has an Office 365 account. So the next top tip is around closing the form. So why would a teacher do that?
Yeah, so just to set the due date for an assessment or a quiz, it's a good cutoff time as well, just to make sure that learners are only accessing the form at a particular time.
For sure, and also if a school is getting information in from parents and they want to know who's attending the rugby match or who's going on the cricket tour, there has to be a cutoff date at some point so that they know how many people they are providing catering for or transport for. So it's important to be able to close a form, after which point in time no more responses will be accepted. The third point is around duplicating the form. So just emphasize for us again why that's important.
Okay, so you could duplicate a form if you want to reuse that template or content in there as well, but edit and make some changes to it. So it's a great way to save people time setting up this form.
So definitely, the kinds of forms that you'd use again and again in a school situation, maybe you sort of collate parent contact information every year. You don't have to make a new form every time. You can copy the previous year's form, export the data, clear the fields and recycle the same form. Or reuse a test or a quiz that you've made for one class and you want to use the same quiz again for, the kids coming in the next lesson. You can easily duplicate that. And the final point?
To share the form to collaborate within departments. You may have someone who set up an excellent quiz or form and you want to collaborate on that particular form. It's a great way, once again, to save time. You just collaborate and everyone has viewing as well as editing rights on that form where you duplicate and share the link.
And what's also nice about setting somebody up as your collaborator is even if that person's not involved in setting up the questions, that person would also have access to the responses once those started coming in. Well, Ranelle, I'm hoping that people who've been watching this are really excited to try out Microsoft Forms. They will need an Office 365 for education account to make it work. So if you don't have one, do sign up for Office 365 for education. And I also hope that people remembered what we were talking about in the beginning of this session, particularly the South African teachers, around claiming their SACE professional development points for tools that they've tried out on the Microsoft Educator community and have earned a badge for, or online courses that they've done. Get the recognition, get the rewards, and get those points.
Absolutely. It's been wonderful being here with you today and learning more about SACE points and how to earn that on the Microsoft Educator community, and expressing what I've done in terms of forms within my training.
Well, thanks for being with me, Ranelle. You've definitely shown me a few things about forms that I didn't know and that I'm quite keen to try. So we'll be putting those into practice, and I'll be hoping to collaborate with you on some forms in the future. Well, viewers, that brings us to the end of this Microsoft Virtual Academy. Do check out Microsoft Forms and claim those SACE points. We'll see you in the next one. Bye for now.